Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, my name's Jeremy, and it's good to see you all here. I put a meme on social media this morning that said, pretend it's Easter again this week and go to church, because Jesus is still alive. All right, let's go. Welcome to Family Feels Part 1. This is going to be a great series to help you grow as a family and help our church grow as a church family. I want to do this. I want to celebrate something that happened last weekend, and that is Easter weekend. We saw four people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that's incredible. So we want to celebrate that. Yeah. That's really why we exist as a church, is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus. And so thank you for those of you who made a difference and who showed up and volunteered and helped to make that happen. I do want to mention that today we have Connect 3 and 4. And really, Connect is it's a track that we follow that is a journey that we as pastors try to lead you on. If you want to grow and take next steps in your faith, the Connect track is for you. A lot of times people show up at church and they're like, hey, I want to get involved, but I don't exactly know how to. The Connect track is our way for you to get involved. And so as we take you on this journey, we go through Connect 1, Connect 2, Connect 3 and 4 is really where we kind of put you on the stage, not up here necessarily, but put you on the stage of life and say, hey, what is your purpose and how can you make a difference with your life, and then send you out to go do that. So what I'd like to do for those of you who were interested in going through Connect 3 and 4, I want to invite you to go ahead and stand, and you can make your way out, and Pastor Lee will meet you out in the lobby there. So we got a couple of folks that are doing that today. And while they're moving around, let's welcome all our guests today, Church of Lake Travis. Let's go. Yeah. So, Family Feels. When I think about that, I think about the hashtag that we see often around on social media, hashtag all the feels, you know, like all the feels, like, and you get all the feels for a lot of different things. You get all the feels for like a good day at work. You get all the feels for a bad breakup with a relationship. You get all the feels for a piece of pizza. And really, when we think about family feels, we get a lot of feelings when it comes to family. Sometimes they're nostalgic and joyful. Other times they might bring dread and make you want to run. Come on, let's be real here, everybody. Like, family isn't always easy, but we're hoping to bring some joy to your family during this series. I have five kids ranging from 8 to 18, and our oldest is getting ready to go to college, and we're having some feelings going on there. I mean, sometimes it's good feelings, like we really are excited, and other times it's like we can't wait to get rid of him kind of feelings. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, if you've ever had that happen. Now, even if you don't have kids of your own, I want you to know this message is still relatable because, well, you were a kid once. I mean, or maybe you still act like a kid. I'm not sure what it is, but you have this relationship. And here's the thing for all of us know at least one kid. That's why it's relevant for us, because we know a friend's kid or a neighbor's kid or a niece or a nephew or something, someone in our life. And that's why we believe that this series is super important. We believe families are a priority. And I want you to think about family in two ways during this series. Number one, I want you to think about it in terms of your family unit, if you have one. And then number two, I want you to think about it in terms of a church family. So people that all come together from all different backgrounds, but they're part of one family. Because here's the reality. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus kind of turns family on its head. Where we think like a man and his wife get married and that institutes a family, and then they have kids and that they extend their family. Jesus looks at it a little different. In fact, Mark chapter 3, verse 31, Jesus is inside a house, and his mother and brothers show up, and they're standing outside, and they sent someone in to call him to come out. And there was a crowd sitting around him. He's kind of teaching them. Maybe I picture it in the living room floor, just teaching them. And as he's sitting there teaching them, the person comes in and tells him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you, Jesus." And Jesus is always, very seldom does Jesus not ask a question. In fact, that's one of the things that makes Jesus so interesting to me, is he almost always answers a statement with a question. He's a great question asker, and he said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And then he looked at those seated in the circle around him, and I can just picture this intimate kind of gathering in a Middle Eastern culture where they're all sitting on the floor together, maybe having a meal, and he's talking to them, and he looks at those seated in the circle around them, and he said, "Here, all of you, these are my brother and my mother and my, these are the people that make up my family," because here's where it gets real for him. He says, "Whoever does the will of my Father, those people are my brother and my sister and my mother." What Jesus is saying is that the gospel changes who we are. It changes our identity. It makes us children of God. And I love that picture. In fact, some people may be like, "Well, what is the will of God? Whoever does the will of God, whoever does the will of my Father." John chapter 6 says the will of God is to believe in the one whom he sent. That's Jesus. So you want to know how to do God's will? Believe in Jesus. That's what Jesus is talking about. And it's just interesting. Jesus takes this dynamic of flesh and blood relatives, and he turns it on its head and redefines it and says, no, it's really about the faith family. It's really about those who I call brother and sister because of what I'm about to do. The Apostle Paul got that same idea, and the Apostle Paul talked about family all of the time. If you read the letters that he wrote to the different churches, he talked about the family, and he talked about how the church was a family, and how the church should be a picture of the family to the world outside of the church. So if you want to know what love looks like, you first look to the family unit, and then you look to the faith family, and then the world's looking in, and they're like, oh, that's what love looks like. And the Apostle Paul knew that, and he talked about that all the time. I think it's so interesting to think about that we're all, those who believe, are children of God in a faith family. One of my favorite stories is about a young boy who was really kind of in a small town. He went to a church, and in this church where he went, he loved to go and listen to the preacher. What was interesting about this boy is he was he lived with a single parent, his mom. And as he would walk through town, he would feel like that people were always looking at him, feeling like that he was kind of less than because he didn't have a father. And so he went to this church, and he would slip in on Sunday mornings like some people do here, and they'd slip in a little bit late and leave a little bit early, but he loved to listen to the preacher, and he loved the growl of the preacher's voice. I don't have a growl in my voice, but he loved the growl of the preacher's voice. And as he went one Sunday, what happened was that he kind of just got caught up in the moment of the message, and church let out, and he couldn't get out the back door quick enough. And as he was trying to get through the aisles of the church, and people were in front of him and everything, he felt a hand go on his shoulder. And when he felt that hand, terror went through him, because he just knew that someone was going to ask him what in the world a boy like him was doing in that church. And sure enough, he spun around, and it was the preacher looking right at him. And he said, "Boy, whose son are you?" And he said in that moment, he was scared out of his mind. And then all of a sudden he started thinking like, they just want to know who my father is, and they don't know that I don't have a father. And the preacher, in all his wisdom, he said, oh, wait a minute. I know whose son you are. Why, you're a son of God. And that little boy's chest swole with pride, and then he slapped him on the shoulder and said, go claim your inheritance. Isn't that a great story? Just to remind us that we're all, as believers, we're all in one family. And we're together, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers. We're one church family. So I really needed to set up this whole series with that idea to say this is a family feel series, not only for the family unit, but also for the church family. And how can we grow closer together as brothers and sisters in Christ who have put our faith in Him? So we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians today, and we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament to demonstrate this joy that we can experience together. The first is the Apostle Paul writes to this family of God at Philippi, and he writes this one central theme, and you hear the word over and over and over and over again all throughout the book of Philippians, and it's this one word that I believe that God wants to speak to your family unit, that is the individual family, but also to our church family, and the word is joy. Joy. I love that word. It's a powerful word. And Paul says it about 18 times in 4 chapters. Joy, joyful, rejoice. So not just be joyful, but rejoice. And he says it over and over again. Now, what's interesting is that happiness and joy are oftentimes talked about synonymously, but they couldn't be further from the opposite ends of the spectrum. And it's found even in Paul's life. The book of Philippians was penned by Paul, who was at the moment of its writing suffering untold troubles and trials. He was in a Roman dungeon. He was being beaten. He was being neglected. He was suffering, and all practical circumstances around him looked as if he should never experience any kind of anything related to joy, and yet that's what keeps bubbling up in the words that he writes over and over again. And as we talk about family feels, I can't overstate enough how much I want this for you. I want this for you. In fact, we say a lot of times here at the church at Lake Travis that we don't want something from you. In fact, we want something for you. And if I could say that any more plain, I would just say what we want for you is for you to be able to experience incredible joy. Joy in your family and joy in this church family. I think that it will be so, so good for us. I believe we're hardwired for joy. This week, I had a long day at work, and I was tired, and picked Sam up from school. He's our 13-year-old, and we would always just, Sam was born with a permanent smile on his face, like all the time. He's just got a smile on his face. He gets in the car with me, and I'm just kind of like driving, but a little bit checked out, a little bit tired, and just have a solemn look on my face. And he's like, Dad, where's your joy? And I just immediately went from right here to a big smile on my face. And I just thought, you know what? We're hardwired for joy. We have that desire to be joyful people. And yet sometimes life can just get us down. In fact, I think happiness really is a contrast with joy in many ways, because happiness is external, right? Like the weather isn't good, and so I'm not having a good day. That makes me unhappy. My job's not going good, and so I'm not having a good day. That makes me unhappy. All this external stuff, anything that's happened on the outside, but joy, true joy, is internal. It's on the inside. It's something that sometimes we might need to alert our face to, as Sam pointed out. And it's something that we all have the ability to have on the inside when it comes to joy versus happiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes this, and I think it's so interesting to get these words from this guy. He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, we don't give up, though outwardly, the external, outwardly, we are wasting away. Those things aren't going very good. So my happiness might be way down because happiness is external. Yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day." Notice what he says there, that my joy on the inside is not being dictated by what's on the outside, because what's on the outside isn't going so good. But what's on the inside is, it's jamming. It's going well. It's being renewed day by day. And then he goes on and he says this phrase, but I just think it's comical. If you ever read the Bible and really think about what's going on in it, it's pretty funny. He says, "For our light and momentary troubles." Light and momentary? What are you talking? You're in prison. You've been beaten. You've been drugged around. You're talking about light and momentary, persecuted for your faith. Here's what he says: "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of those external happenings." And then he says this: "So we fix our eyes on the internal, not on the external, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, the internal." Because he says this: "What is seen, what is external, is temporary. It'll go away. Those things change with time. They're up and they're down. The weather's good and the weather's bad." But here's what he says: "What is unseen, what is internal, that's eternal." What's internal is eternal. And that's true joy. Joy and happiness are different in that way, but also happiness is based on circumstance. Happiness is based on circumstance. And I think about how our circumstances change all the time. And I think about this old phrase that you've heard from Theodore Roosevelt, that comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. Think about that, and think about how exacerbated that has gotten. It used to be we compared ourselves with our neighbor who got a new car. But now we compare ourselves with everyone around us because of social media. And that guy's kid did better than my kid, and they got this promotion at work, and this is all this stuff. And we can get inundated with comparison, and it will rob us of joy. But true joy is not based on circumstances. True joy is based on a relationship with God through Christ. And I love this. This is my heart for you. If you're here and you're wanting to know more about church and you're just exploring this whole thing, we're glad you're here. And what we desire for you is that you would come to know God in a real and personal way. And that happens through a relationship with Jesus. And what happens when you believe in Jesus, there's a supernatural thing that occurs in your heart. It's something called new life. And God takes your old and he makes it go away and he brings the new, and it's awesome. There's this new life that happens. In fact, we'll be celebrating new life in Christ next weekend with water baptism if you're interested in being baptized. It's a beautiful picture of new life. The other thing, though, there's just a practical side that the Holy Spirit starts to teach you on the inside about this idea of joy. In fact, the Apostle Paul says it this way, Philippians chapter 4, he says, "I've just learned some practical things through following God. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances." I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. It's just a practical thing that I've learned to do. That the joy that I have isn't based on any of the external, any of the circumstances, but there's something deep on the inside, a relationship with God. this is so, so important. The Apostle Paul writes about this again and again. He says, happiness happens by chance, but joy happens by choice. In the Old Testament, God tells the people over and over again, you have a choice. You can follow me and things will go well for you, or you can not follow me and things won't go well for you. He calls it blessing and curse. He calls it life and death. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curses. And here's what he says, it's simple. It's a choice. Choose life so that not just you will live, but so that your children will live also. It's a choice. Joy is a choice. So how does a family like yours and a faith family like ours experience the joy that God wants for us? I believe it happens by simply showing up. Simply showing up in kids' lives. Here's why that matters. It matters because it's the next generation, and it matters because it's personal. Showing up on a regular basis is important in our kids' lives. And what I think about is how Paul writes this letter to the Philippians. In Philippians 1, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. There's gratitude in his heart. And then he says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with, what's the word? Joy. That's right. Good, Louie. Joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel. It's so interesting the way that joy works. It happens with reciprocal fashion. In other words, here's what happens. We asked all of you, yes, last week and the preceding weeks, we said, please, 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 show up at SpringFest. And so we asked you to do that. And I asked one of my friends that is starting a new church here in the area. His name's Marco. He spoke here a few weeks back. And I asked him and his wife to come and help us out. And I said thank you to him yesterday. Gratitude, joy in my heart. He brought me joy that he came. And he said it was a joy for us to be able to serve. You think about that and you think that the joy happens reciprocally, right? Like you come and it gives me joy, but you get joy because you showed up. And that's the way it happens over and over again. There's this guy in the Bible. Maybe you've heard of him. His name's Nehemiah. He's famous in the Christian world for rebuilding a wall around Jerusalem. It's an incredible story in the Bible. You can read it in one afternoon. Sit down and read it this afternoon. The wall was really important because it represented the stability of the nation of Israel. It represented the city's strength. But the wall wasn't built without issue. Not at all, because what happened was there was a critical stage in the construction where they were halfway through building the wall. The wall was half built and people were getting tired and everything began to pile up all at once. And there were verbal attacks, there were threats, there were rumors going on, there were complaints, skepticism, morale was shifting with an enemy right outside the gates threatening to come in and attack them, intimidating them. The people of Israel began to become frightened. Everyone began to get uncomfortable. And Nehemiah did something in that moment. He rallied families and parents to assume a whole new level of responsibility. He rallied them to show up. It reads like this in Nehemiah 4:13. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them, notice the phrase, by families with their swords. These were regular, ordinary people, but he gave them swords and spears and bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families. Show up in a big way. Your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Can you imagine the emotion of this moment? Everybody knows the enemy's planning to attack. Everybody's ready to give up. So Nehemiah simply organizes them family by family, lines them up, and posts them at the gaps in the half-finished wall. And he says, remember, this is what you're fighting for. In that one move, he recasted the vision to the people, and it became personal to everyone. Here's what happened. Nehemiah rallies the parents, and it was a game changer in the story, because when the parents stood in the gaps, the enemy decided not to attack. Maybe they knew that moms and dads fight a little differently for their own. Maybe they knew that when it became personal for them, that they would show up in a different kind of way, and the enemy wanted nothing to do with that. And of course, the wall went on to be built, Jerusalem was safe, and all was saved because the parents showed up. I want to invite our CLT kids to come join me here on the stage today. And if you're here and you're in high school, middle school, college, y'all just make your way, either if you're back there or over here, y'all make your way up here on the stage, because I need your help with just an illustration for a moment. Come on. Our family ministry team is incredible here. We have Pastor Charlie, who's our elementary pastor. He's incredible. He has over 30 years of ministry experience. It's a blessing to have him leading our kids. Miss Rebecca has an extensive ministry experience with educating kids. We're blessed to have her as our preschool director. Pastor Lee, who leads our student ministry, he does an incredible job. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to look at these kids, and I want you to know that they show up here each and every week. They show up here wanting you adults to show up in their lives. They show up saying, I'm hoping that there's an adult that will speak some kind of truth and bring some kind of joy into this classroom, into this environment where we can say, yes, this is the next generation of Christ followers. Do you know that 85% of people that make a faith commitment in Jesus Christ do so before the age of 13? What this generation represents is a next generation of believers. And the fact that you brought them to church here this morning is a way of showing up. It's showing up and saying, you matter. It's showing up saying, I care about you. When you serve in a preschool classroom, when you stand up and you tell the story of David and Goliath to little four-year-olds, and oh, the light comes on. And listen, we're not asking you to do anything that isn't something that the Bible calls us to do, which is to show up joyfully. When you serve and you sit down with a second grader with Pastor Charlie's ministry and you ask second graders what you can be praying for them about, something powerful happens. A relationship happens. And all of a sudden now you as an adult are speaking the same things to that second grader that their parents are speaking to them as well. It's a powerful picture. It becomes personal when it's our kids. And this is our kids. And we've got to show up for them each and every week. I love this. On Easter, when Rebecca had more parents, more of you, more moms and dads than she normally has serving, volunteering that day, she said this, I wish that they, the moms and the dads, could have seen their own children's faces. Because they were beaming with pride and joy for having their parents with them. They would interrupt the story time or the games frequently to remind me that their mom or their dad were in that classroom today. Isn't that awesome? Moms and dads Our kids are wanting us to show up as spiritual parents and bring joy. Don't they bring a lot of joy to you right now? Yeah, they do. Let's thank them for the joy they bring. Yeah. In fact, let's take a picture together, everybody. So y'all pull out your phones. We'll take a picture. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Sorry. Hey, come here. Come here, Jacob. All right. So we're saying we want to show up. We want to stand in the gap for our kids, and they bring us so much joy. So, but here's the kids. We need you to make a silly face. Can you make a silly face for this joyful picture? Ready? One, two, three. All right. Give them a hand. Thank you so much. Y'all can make your way off the stage. Let's give our elementary team, our teenagers, everybody that helps, give them a big hand. Let's say thank you for what they do. It's awesome, 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 awesome. Now here, this is the Paul Harvey moment. This is the rest of the story, okay? In Nehemiah's story, the outcome of what happened when they showed up, not only did the enemy flee, but by showing up, it created a safe environment for them to learn spiritual truth. That's critical. When we show up joyfully in the next generation's life, we receive joy as a result of serving and showing up in their life. We receive joy, but we also create a safe spot for them to hear the word of God. After the wall was rebuilt in Nehemiah 8, Ezra, the prophet, he came in and he unpacked the truth of Scripture, the word of God, to the people. And at first, it was interesting because they were convicted to the heart and they felt guilty and they felt shame because they hadn't stood in the gap before then. If you're here today, I want you to be free from guilt and shame. I want you to be inspired, and I hope that you are, that you'll say, yeah, I'll show up and I'll serve. I'll get involved in the next generation. I want you to feel that way, but I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to find joy in showing up. Because that's what happened here. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy, not a day of mourning. Do not grieve. Do not feel guilty, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How do I do this? I don't feel equipped. It was so funny yesterday at Springfest. There was one particular bounce house that I went and talked with the person that was working, and you could just see like dread on their face because the kids were going buck wild in the bounce house. I mean, they were like doing, you know, like wrestling moves and body slams on top of each other. It was crazy. And they were in there, and this person just said, I don't know if I'm equipped for children's ministry. But then later, I saw them and they were having a blast. They were having so much fun because they were receiving joy from those kids. I think it's awesome to see how that works. How am I going to have the strength to serve after a long week of work and get up and go and be a volunteer in CLT Kids? The joy of the Lord is your strength. How are you going to go on an overnight camping trip with a bunch of teenagers to invest in the next generation? The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And then the story goes on. It's so cool. Verse 11, the Levites, that was the priests, the pastors, they calmed all the people and they said, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy. That's right. That's the kind of environment that showing up creates. It creates an environment where people can hear God's word and really learn how to be a joyful family. So, Family Feels Part 1, key word, joy. How do we show up as a joyful family? Three ways we can show up joyfully. Number one, serve this summer, June, July, August, serve this summer in CLT Kids. Here's why that's important, because we have a lot of people who normally serve, who travel, and we simply need people in a very real way to stand in the gap, because there'll be a gap with those people traveling. So we need people that will say, hey, I'll stand in the gap for the next generation. Serve in CLT Kids. Might be once in the summer, might be twice, it might be three times, I'm not sure. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm committed. I want to show up twice a month for the summer. And show up this summer. Number two, this is a big one, because, and Lee talked about it during the announcements, Family Anthem next Saturday morning at River in the Hills Church. It's just going to be an equipping time for you to experience the Word of God in a real intimate setting so that you can walk out of there with more joy. Can anybody here use more joy in their life? I know I can. And so I'm excited about Family Anthem. Make plans to join us for that next Saturday morning from 9 to noon. If you can't come the whole time, come for as long as you can. You won't be disappointed. Three, and this may be too soon to mention it, but volunteer at Mega Sports Camp July 7th through the 10th. That's our version of Vacation Bible School, and we'll have about, you saw probably about 50 kids up here today. We'll have about three times as many kids at Mega Sports Camp as we had up here on the stage today. It's a huge event at Hill Country Indoor Sports, and we need you to say, I'll show up and stand in the gap. I'll show up and be involved in a kid's life. With not like show up with my hands crossed and my face sour like some people do when they serve, but with joy. Y'all ready to do it? Yeah? All right. Let's pray.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.